Welcome back to Inside Rock. This week we're going to be doing an episode called A Drummer Sang That.
So I'm assuming the episode's about drummers in rock groups that also sang.
Yeah, you know, most of the time the front man.
Thank God he's here.
Most of the time, you know, drummers are in the...
Wait a minute. The reason Chad said that is because the podcast is going to be about 40 minutes long, right?
Yeah, we'll see.
We took about 2 hours trying to think of what to call it. He didn't like singing drummers.
Well, that's boring.
All right. So a drummer sang that.
A drummer sang that.
Okay, we're going with that. Okay.
And then please. We had an argument over whether it should be a question or a statement. A drummer sang that? Or yeah. Was it a drummer sang that?
And then we had a quick nap and we said, screw it. We're just calling it a drummer sang that.
That's there right.
Okay.
So anyway, drummers that...
Carry on.
Yeah, so drummers usually get... You know, whenever you see a picture of a group or a promo shot, it's the guys on guitar and bass in the front. And in the back, you can hardly really notice the drummer, right? Like, they usually sit in the back, even though, like, guys like Neil Peart, and who doesn't sing, by the way. I think he did background vocals, right? Did he?
I don't think Neil did much vocals.
He just did what he did best, played the drums. But anyway, guys that sing in the background don't really get the attention that they deserve. You hear them on the radio and such, but...
Well, they're usually engulfed with dry ice, smoke.
Yeah, and right?
Even at the best of times.
The only drummer, and we'll cover him later, that really stood out was Peter Criss of Kiss with the drum kit lifted up and you couldn't miss him, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, a lot of them, though, get hidden, right?
Well, yes. And then there's some that sing while they're at the drums.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they come out front and sing.
Yeah, I think it's impressive. I don't know why. I think it's impressive singing and playing an instrument anyway, whether it's a guitar. You got to sing and still concentrate on what you're doing. I don't know. I find that impressive. Anyway.
You're still working on walking and chewing bubble gum? How's that coming
along?
Yeah,
I can't get that straight.
Okay.
I just can't.
Anyway, the guy I think of is Don Henley.
Yeah, Don Henley's huge. Yeah, for sure.
Well, it's funny. I pulled up Don Henley and it shows him holding the guitar.
Yeah, because he's one of the guys who comes up front and does a lot of the songs up front, but he does a lot of singing from the drum kit too.
Well, yeah, he's a great drummer, and he's well respected as a good vocalist.
Well, yeah, a lot of people really have given him accolades for his vocals. Well, he's one of the guys that went on after the Eagles broke up, 1980. They broke up.
Mm-hmm.
He went on to a huge, successful solo career.
Yeah, he had the best solo career of any of the Eagles.
That album, right. Can't Stand Still, isn't that his album?
I think so.
Can't Stand Still?
Okay.
I think so.
I don't know.
1982.
Okay. Can't Stand Still. There you go.
I love 82, by the way.
I don't know if that's
my favorite 80s year, 1982.
Is that right?
It is.
Why is that?
Yeah, I was in grade 9. I got laid.
Let's see. Let's do the math. How old was he?
Oh, you mean pretending
he was 34. You got to get on that.
Oh, you mean pretending to music?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it didn't matter. I don't know.
Okay.
Right, back to Don Henley.
Yeah.
His solo career, Boys of Summer, Dirty Laundry, Sunset Grill, all those.
Yeah, he had a great... he did vocals with the Eagles, most notably Witchy Woman and Hotel California.
Yep.
Long Run. I mean, he's very distinctive, his vocals.
Now, that was one of the basis of the longstanding feud between Glenn Frey and Don Felder.
Felder, yeah.
Because Felder wanted more vocal roles.
Yeah.
And Glenn Frey says, "Well, your voice sucks. We don't want you to sing."
And
boom! Are you serious?
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't agree. I've seen Don Felder, and we saw him together.
We met him. Yeah.
Yeah, we met him. Yeah, mm-hmm. And he's got a great voice. He really does. Now they warmed up. You know what song they did before they warm up every show? You know that, right? They did
Hotel California.
No. Seven Bridges Road.
Oh, Seven Bridges Road. Yeah,
and it's all vocals, right?
We said that in the other podcast.
Yeah, they get together, in whatever you want to call it, backstage, and they do that as a warm up. So if his voice sucked that bad,
it's all a cappella, no instruments.
It's all a cappella. I mean, they all had good voices. Joe Walsh included. You know, Joe Walsh had a really weird kind of,
I like Joe Walsh.
Yeah, everybody does. It's Joe, but they harmonized really well together. So to say his voice sucked, I don't think that's fair.
Well, Glenn Frey just didn't like him,
dude. He did not like
him. It's egos.
Yeah.
But Don Felder wanted more vocals, and Glenn Frey said, no, fuck you.
Yeah.
Well, and it was a problem.
Yeah.
But anyway, Don Henley was the voice of of the Eagles, for mm-hmm. sure. I think of him when I think of all the songs I like from the Eagles.
Yeah, so Don Henley. Yeah. Anyway, there you go. And he did some stuff with Stevie Nicks, too. So, yeah. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, what was the name of the song?
Well, was that Leather and Lace?
There you go.
Yeah. Good stuff. I mean, I know Eagles is one of your favorite bands, if not your favorite band.
Yeah.
So.
It is your favorite band.
Yeah, it is.
Very good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There you go.
Very good.
All right, so let's move on to, here's a guy. I mean, you know his name.
Of course.
Roger Taylor.
Love Roger Taylor from Queen.
Oh, Queen.
Yeah. You know what? If you watched the movie, which I really didn't care for, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Why?
I didn't care for it. I didn't care for it. I really did. I'm a huge Queen fan. And that's a whole different episode. But anyway, when they're showing the making of Bohemian Rhapsody, who's the guy that's in the booth doing the highest notes?
Oh, that was the bassist, wasn't it?
It was Roger Taylor. It was Roger Taylor. So, yeah, he had the highest range. Everybody would think it'd be Freddie Mercury. Freddie Mercury had the best voice, but Roger Taylor had the range. Isn't that great? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you watch that again, that scene, it's really cool.
I remember the scene. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Well, but they said, yeah, he had a 4-octave vocal range.
That's impressive.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
Well, I could give you a 4-octave vocal range, too. Right?
Yeah, but none of it would be in tune. Somebody stomp on a cat?
Still be fun to try it.
You know, he hits a 4-octave when we're playing PS4 and he starts screaming. That's 4-octave.
Yeah, but there has to be a profanity on each side of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Who are you talking about, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know it's true.
Yeah.
Especially last night.
What do you mean?
There were 4-letter profanities coming out of you that you could hear back to Temiscaming.
And it was always the same 4-letter profanity. Well, same one.
Yeah, he's kind
of
mixed
up. And it wasn't the F-dash word, the queen mother of all dirty words. It wasn't that.
No, it wasn't.
You know what's funny? And all we were playing was golf.
I know.
As long as we were like, you know, shoot 'em up games. No, it was golf.
Golf. Yeah, that was good. Yep.
You know, the first time I heard Roger Taylor's I'm in Love with Your Car, I bought the single, Bohemian Rhapsody, and that's the B-side.
Right.
That's
another show we have to do.
Oh, B-sides, yeah.
There's some
really good B-sides to 45s, yeah. For those of you who don't know what a 45 is, it's a 45 RPM record.
It's a small one.
It's the small
one. With a big hole in the middle.
That's right. 7-inch single.
There's a joke there.
Oh, man.
Hey, I'm with you. If I were to get a tattoo,
yeah,
that's a good idea.
45 record adapter.
Yeah. On the old shoulder, the old 45 adapter.
A lot of people don't know what we're talking about right now.
We'll put an image of it on there.
If they're listening the show to notes, us, in the of show course notes. They would know what that is.
A little squiggle thing and a little
squiggle thing.
Yeah, it's got 3 squiggles.
Yikes.
All right. We're
talking about the 45 squiggle thing. So the adapters, when I go to the thrift stores and I'm looking through records, I always go to the 45s and I grab a hold of them and I put my finger in there, try to find the adapter, if any of the adapters were left in the 45s.
Oh.
And then I steal them.
Have you ever found any?
Are you serious?
Well, I grab them, I put them in the album. Yeah, I put them in the
album.
You're
bad, dude.
Well, I don't take the record, I just take the adapter.
Have you found any?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
there's been some. Yeah. They're expensive, those
little
bastards.
So you reach down and put your finger in the hole.
I just wiggle my finger around in that hole, see if I can find the adapter.
All right.
We're still talking about records, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Grand Funk Railroad. Moving on.
Love Don Brewer.
Don Brewer.
Yeah. We're an American band.
Yeah.
I saw them at the casino, too.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I did. Absolutely. And you know what? He's awesome on drums, and he's a great vocalist.
Well, he did a cover. It was Walk Like a Man. He did the vocal.
That's a cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a cover. Yeah,
but he was the lead vocal on that one.
He was. He's the lead vocal on most of them.
Give Me Shelter.
What about American Band?
We're an American Band. Yeah, he's really vocal.
Dude, remember I told you that is what, I don't know why, the beginning of that song is so iconic.
The drums?
It is.
It's just, I don't know, there's something about that beginning of that
tune. It's incredible. It's incredible. Yeah. Yeah, I saw him with the original lineup, as a matter of fact.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, it was really, really good. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so Don Brewer, he's one of my favorite drumming
Again, this
vocals.
Is going to be a great playlist.
Oh, yeah, man.
Just remind everybody to go to Spotify on the Jabber Guys you know, playlists, and Charles is going to put together a playlist of all the songs we're mentioning during this episode.
Yeah, yeah, and I think instead of our logo on the playlist, you know how it shows our logo on all the playlists? Yeah. This one's going to be a 45 adapter.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I think
you know,
so.
The last time I saw, you know, the Honeymoon Suite's greatest hits album?
Yes.
Uses the 45 adapter.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
So
it
anyone does. That doesn't know what a 45 adapter is, go to our playlist and you'll see the adapter as a logo.
Perfect.
Absolutely. There
perfect.
You go. Wow. Who mentioned Gimme Shelter? Who said that?
I did.
Yeah, that's a great Stones cover, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, Grand Funk does a great cover of that for mm-hmm. sure. They also did another cover that was very successful, Little Eva's Locomotion.
Locomotion, yeah, 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 I remember that one.
That was also a cover, and that was a really big hit for them, right?
Yeah.
That was the other song. I knew there was another song.
Oh, yeah, there's
just
tons.
To listen to you play. That's right, yeah.
Some Kind of Wonderful. I mean, they've got
you actually had the 45 of Grand
Funk. I still do.
That was the gold one.
Yes, I still
right?
Well, you know what else I got?
It was a gold 45.
Gold 45, We're an American Band, yeah. And I also got the album, gold album.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I found it at a thrift store. Actually, it wasn't a thrift store. It was the record show. Remember the one we went to?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the guy had We're an American Band album, and I don't think he realized that it was the gold record because it wasn't priced like it. So I opened it up, took a little peek, saw a little bit of gold, stuffed it back in quick. I'll take this.
That's what he said.
That's what she said. So, yeah.
You know, we're going to start calling him. We're going to start calling him Thrifty Queeks.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I'm good with it.
Well, you know what would go better? The two T's, Thrifty Tweak.
Tweaks.
Now he's calling me Tweak.
I'm just saying it would be better with the Thrift. Tweak. Two T's, Thrifty Tweak.
What's a tweak?
That's what I call him by accident.
No, you don't. No, you call me Tweaks.
Tweaks.
You don't even know what you call me.
I call you Tweaks.
Yeah.
By accident.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
You just said Tweak.
Oh.
Whatever.
Wait a minute. I think he's smelling toast again.
Wave your arms in the air
like you just don't care.
All right. All right. Moving on. Now, this next one was a protege under Prince.
Yeah.
Got her start with Prince.
Yeah.
You all know who I'm talking about.
I certainly do. I saw her too.
Female drummer.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Sheila E.
Sheila E.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I see a picture you brought up on the old monitor there. She's surrounded by, it looks like a Tamiset, right?
Yeah.
Number set. The only time, whenever I've seen her play, it's like a cymbal and one snare.
Hmm.
Is that not true?
Because she'll come out to the front and then perform on one drum. I know what you're talking about. Usually when somebody else is drumming, but she's been known to be her own drummer. So
very good.
Yeah, she's very, very good percussionist. I like her.
Well, I ripped her ticket at the theater. Remember seeing that?
Oh, you did, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
She was with Prince, right?
She was with Prince.
Yeah, and they're both really short.
Both of them maybe topped 4.5 feet. They were tiny. Well, maybe it's because they had a 400-pound freaking black guy beside him bouncing.
Well, that's true.
He was huge. And he was a monster.
Excuse me. Shouldn't you be back at the North Pole?
I don't get it. What's going on?
It's not Christmas
time. You're an elf.
You're elves.
You're an angry little elf.
Well, I didn't call her an elf, but
okay.
She was tiny.
All right. And what was her breakthrough hit? The Glamorous Life.
Yeah, I got the... never mind. I got the 45. Anyway.
All right. Okay, so yeah.
So, with the adapter.
So kudos to Sheila E.
Yeah, right on. Right? She had to be on the list. She's awesome.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Next one. Well, this guy, we had the Giz on, remember? And he talked about meeting this guy when he was working at the not-to-be-mentioned 4-star hotel when this guy was there.
Yeah, he did mention that.
Yeah, and he invited him to the show, and he had to get the tickets. And
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about Levon Helm, the band.
From the band, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a big band fan. I don't know why.
Oh, come on. Up on Cripple Creek. The night they
say
drove
that again. What did you say?
Up on Cripple Creek.
I'll play it back later. See what you said the first time.
What did I say?
Cripple?
So did I say Crickle?
I don't know what you said.
Yeah, it was really stupid.
Cripple Creep? Yeah, the night they drove old Dixie down. You know, they had some great songs.
Yeah.
I got nothing. You know,
I don't even know who the hell you're talking about.
Oh, come on. No, the band, Elwood, the band.
I like The Weight. The Weight is good.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm just not, I don't know. I mean, Martin Scorsese liked them well enough for sure to do a movie, you know.
The, oh, documentary.
Yeah. They did the movie. Yeah. The Last Waltz.
The Last Waltz. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. They're pretty iconic.
I just sold that poster.
What, The Last Waltz?
The Last Waltz, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty.
What'd it go for?
I don't know. I think I got about $300 for it, something like that.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty desirable poster. Yeah. Hmm. It's an original, just to be clear.
Ooh.
Original movie poster. Shut up, Joe.
All right, moving on. Okay, how about this guy?
Well, here's one. Everybody knows their music, at least from our generation anyway.
Yep.
And one of their most popular songs, you don't realize it's the drummer singing it. And the song is Last Train to Clarksville.
Yeah,
and who's the drummer?
Mickey Dolenz.
Yeah, Mickey Dolenz.
He was a funny guy.
Remember the show?
Well, they were all funny.
No, but he was the goofy one.
Yeah,
he was like the curly.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
Mike was more straight.
Yes, Nesmith.
Mike Nesmith, and then Davy Jones was kind of the naive one.
And Peter Tork was
just goofy.
Yeah, they were all goofy. Yeah. That was a good show. It was a fun show.
See, Peter Tork was like a Larry. He was a good fill-in. He was great. But
I mean, from the Stooges?
Of course.
Well, who else?
Yeah. Right. Why don't we do a Stooges episode? Oh, this is
hey, you know
that
what
would be
I found?
Weird and wacky.
You know that's what, right. You know what I have at my... I was going to bring it tonight. I forgot. I got a Three Stooges book that belongs to you.
Oh, is it the yellow one?
The yellow one.
How'd you get it?
I don't know.
You
it was
bitch.
I told you I have it.
You freaking
like,
jacked my book.
He's taken that for ransom for the hot powerhouse Hot Wheels.
The powerhouse?
Dude, he found it. I didn't have it.
Yeah, I know.
You ended up having it.
Yeah.
You think I got everything.
I'll swap you with the Intellivision. How's that?
That bitch, he still thinks I freaking jacked it. Yeah, I'm going to jack it and leave all the games.
We don't even have the games.
It was a cover.
I got the games.
No one will suspect. No, you told me to take
Nobody
it.
Will suspect a thing if I leave the games.
All right.
So what the frick? No, it's a paperweight.
Let's go. All right, so
the bitch, he thinks I jacked it.
No, you wouldn't do that.
No, I know you wouldn't do that.
No.
Moving on.
So anyway, the monkeys.
The monkeys, Mickey Dolenz. Also, and I'm a believer.
I don't think I want to contribute any longer.
Mickey Dolenz.
Yeah, I'm a believer.
He's a goofy looking fucker, isn't he?
Yeah, he kind of is.
Yeah, he is. You're right. But anyway, yeah, so... They went on to do that TV show. A lot of groups like that did the TV show. There was the Banana Splits.
Dude, that's great.
Those talented dudes, man.
That was a great show.
Remember the Banana Splits?
Oh, yeah, I do.
What'd you bring them up for?
I don't know.
Why not?
I compared them to the Monkey Show. It was that kind of entertainment for me.
Yeah,
because they were on around the same time, right?
Who's your favorite Banana Split?
Bingo. No question about it.
Mine was Drooper.
Oh, Drooper.
No, Bingo. He was a crazy fucker.
Bingo's awesome.
Isn't that the one with the slide? They come down to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was great.
That's good stuff.
Can you put a link in the show notes for just some kind of like
YouTube? Like the opening to...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Great.
Awesome.
I might look at the show notes for once.
All right.
All right. This next one's really cool. Really unexpected, really.
Well, I mean, a lot of people would know that this person was the drummer.
Yeah, it's a woman.
But there's a whole bunch of people that don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Now, the people that were around during the time when this group was popular would know that because she'd be on stage playing.
That.
Well, she played and sang.
Yeah, I know. But when you were listening
to
this
group.
Can you
tell the users who the hell you're talking about?
I'm talking about Karen Carpenter.
The Carpenters. Now, the Carpenters they were massive. They had so many hits in the 70s. But you remember, this is before music videos, so you didn't really see her perform a lot, unless she was on, you know,
a
talk show or something.
So you had to be really talented.
Well, you had
really,
yeah,
yeah.
No, that's a good point because you wouldn't see them; you just hear them.
You heard them mostly back then, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a lot of people didn't know that she actually played the drums.
No shit.
Now, not all the time, mind you, but she knew how to play the drums.
Huh?
Right?
Yeah, like she died at 32 years old.
Yeah. Well,
she did. What, drugs?
No, she had complications from...
What? What's wrong with that answer? Like 90% of the fucking guys do.
No,
plane crash or drugs.
Yeah, that's it.
No.
Like, you don't hear,
because we covered
like
this
bad fucking dates or something. They're going to die.
We covered this in one of our episodes. You were here.
He was napping at
the
time.
I might have dozed off. How'd she die?
Well, it was heart disease brought on by
anorexia
nervosa.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds like a good episode.
Yeah, you were there.
Okay.
Yeah, but she had anorexia. She really brought the focus to that. There was a very little-known disease before.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, she looked like a skeleton when she died.
Well, she had her organs failed, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. She's a good-looking girl, too.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, and she's a great singer, like Queek said. Tons of hits.
Elton John actually said she was one of the greatest voices of our lifetime. That was coming from Elton John.
Yeah, she had a great voice.
Do you know she made the 100 greatest singers of all time list in Rolling Stones?
Oh, easily.
Wow.
All time.
Easily. What a voice, man. Yeah.
Well, we got to put a couple songs of hers on the playlist there, Cha.
Okie dokie.
Alrighty.
Yeah. So anyway, Karen Carpenter. Kudos to Karen Carpenter.
Yeah. Okay, next guy who was probably one of the most famous singing drummers.
I think so.
Oh, I know who you're going to.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Chow, you could even guess without us even mentioning anything. Go ahead.
I know it's Phil Collins.
That is correct. Yeah.
There you go.
Phil is, first off, he's loaded. Well, maybe not anymore. That chick's really bringing him through the ringer, isn't she?
She's not being very nice.
No, she's not.
Yeah, I saw him in the news, I know.
But he is a talented guy, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They pumped out tons of hits after Peter Gabriel left in 1974.
Yeah, with Genesis.
Yeah, because Gabriel was the front man, very theatrical. If anybody knows the 70s Genesis, I mean.
It's pretty psychedelic.
Very, yeah. It was definitely a different kind of music. It wasn't more mainstream music. Yeah. Like Phil Collins took it. He took it to a different.
Well, you know, that they auditioned a whole bunch of different singers after Peter Gabriel left. And finally they said, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
We got Phil right here. Then they started using Phil.
Yeah.
Phil's great.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Face Value, No Jacket Required. I mean, he has tons of stuff.
Well, here's another guy that went on to a very successful solo career after he left.
Huge.
Right?
You know what? Yeah. I've watched a lot of concerts, like streaming or whatever, Netflix. You know what concert? It's just incredible. The sound quality, the show, just... was one of the Genesis ones.
Oh, yeah?
It was amazing. Even when we were at Future Shop, we demoed the home theater with a Genesis DVD.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was a freaking great show.
Yeah. I saw Genesis and I saw Peter Gabriel on his own. I never saw Phil Collins solo, though.
My boy saw him 2 years ago at Toronto.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he said he's great. He had to sit down for a little bit. He was even joking on stage, like, he's got like some back problems and stuff. He's got a little bit of health issues, and he'd have to sit for a little bit through the show. But he did it, man. He did a great job.
I bet he did.
Yep.
I bet he did. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And we were kind of talking before the show started. Remember, we were talking about drummers, and I said, if there's one drummer. Oh, I think, no, maybe we're recording. I said, Peter Criss. Yeah, we were recording. But Peter Criss, I mean, I wouldn't call him a great vocalist. By any means?
Well, he had the one big song.
What? No, he sang a lot of songs Kiss.
The one Beth. Beth was the big one.
But he wasn't even behind the kit. It was just him sitting on a stool, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, he's got a raspy voice, Peter Criss.
Mm-hmm.
But he did a lot of Hard Luck Woman, actually, is probably my favorite song by him off of Rock and Roll Over.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, Hard Luck Woman. A little country sound to it, actually.
Yeah.
You know? But it's good.
Yeah, one of the stories I like about Peter Criss was they were doing a show in, I think it was Norfolk, Virginia. And he was on stage, and some crazy guy, no, wait a minute, it was in Richmond, Virginia, that's where it was. Some crazy guy threw an M80 firecracker during the show, and it landed on the drum riser, which was already an elevated stage. He was already up in the air. And it blew up, and the force blew him right off the riser. And he actually landed on the drum tech, which helped cushion his fall. But he couldn't get up, and they took him away in a stretcher, put him in the ambulance.
Well, I said it deafened him, too. He couldn't hear
anything. He couldn't hear, just ringing. He couldn't hear anything. And then... he ended up coming back
Well, because the guy told him, what was his name?
Sean, their stage manager.
Yeah, he said, you get back out there.
Yeah, you tell him, fuck this, the cat has 9 motherfucking lives. get out there and finish the show. So he went out and finished the show and went out back on stage. The crowd went crazy. And
it's rock and roll, man.
It's rock and roll. The show must go on. Yeah. Hmm. So he almost got blew up.
Sounds like
mini dynamite.
The Keith Moon incident on the Ed Sullivan show. No, wasn't it? So Dick Cavett. Was it Dick Cavett? What show was he on when that explosion went off?
I can't remember.
No, I think it was Dick Cavett.
I think it was Dick Cavett. I'm pretty sure.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but that was very specific. You said an M80?
Yeah, what's M80?
I just Googled that. I can't find an M80.
M80 firecracker. It's a very large, it's like a mini dynamite. Is what it is.
Yeah, that's my first thought of going to a concert. I got my keys, wallet, and maybe a camera. Mm. Oh, my M80.
Let's not forget that.
No security back then. Right? Guy comes in with a freaking missile launcher.
Well, it is a KISS show.
That's right. That's right.
It's all part of the experience.
You want pyrotechnics? I'll show you pyrotechnics.
Love it.
Let's blow up the drummer.
Yeah, it's awesome. Anyway,
so that was, Peter Criss. Well, you know, he was high most of the time anyway, so he probably
He was kind of, him and Ace were kind of crazy.
Oh, messed up, yeah. That story we told before about them in the Japanese, the Swedish restaurant. Anyway,
Japanese.
Japanese.
I'm Japanese Godzilla. Boats.
I'm Godzilla.
Oh, yeah, I'm Godzilla.
He wiped out the sushi boats. That's a good story. Listen, go back. What episode was that?
I can't remember.
Rockstar's Gone Wild or something. I don't know what it was. I can't remember the name of the show, but that was a good one.
Yeah.
Hey, you know who the first all-white band signed to Motown was? Motown Records?
The Blues Brothers?
Could have been.
Could have been.
Could have been. No, it was Rare Earth.
Rare Earth.
Yeah, Rare Earth.
They're all white?
I Just Want to Celebrate. Yeah. Remember that song? Another Day to Live In.
They sound black.
Yeah, they're white guys, and they were signed to Motown. Yeah.
In the movie, Streets of Fire.
Yes.
The black group that sings that song.
Yeah.
It's a white guy.
It's Dan Hartman.
Dan Hartman. It's all white guys singing. They're just lip syncing.
Yeah, it's Dan Hartman from the Edgar Winter group.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Dan Hartman.
A little bit of trivia.
He died young, too. Poor Dan Hartman. But the reason I think it was AIDS. I think.
Oh,
I think it was
a
complication.
I Can't Live Without You. No, what was it?
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the song.
Yeah, it's I Can Dream About You.
There you go.
By Dan Hartman. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, they're all white guys singing, but it's a bunch of black guys.
But it looks very convincing in the movie, doesn't it?
And they sound black.
Yeah, I know. Anyway. For sure.
It was actually disappointing when you found out they were white.
I know.
You did a good job, the guy in the movie.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, they were good.
So the reason I brought up Rare Earth, the drummer, Peter Rivera, he's the drummer for Rare Earth, and he was the vocalist for that band. For songs like I Just Want to Celebrate, Get Ready, Born to Wander. I mean, I love Rare Earth, a good band. Yeah, I just picked up their album, as a matter of fact.
Oh,
I did.
Well, he said that I think of myself as a singer who plays drums, not a drummer who sings.
Yeah. Well, he's active. I mean, he released a solo album, I think, in 2014. Right? Hmm. So he's still active. Yeah. I don't know, in the last 7 years. Who knows? But anyway.
Okay. Now, not in proficiency or talent.
I know you're going to
be. But who do you think is the most famous drummer of all time?
Well, okay, so usually you bring up the first lack of talent. I'm thinking Ringo Starr.
There you go.
Poor Ringo.
Ringo's awesome.
Ringo is awesome.
I love Ringo.
In what way?
Well, he's got no rhythm, even though he's a drummer. I told you that.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He was the whole personality of the Beatles.
Yeah, he was fun to be around.
Why would you say that?
The press just gravitated to him because he was always laughing and witty, and he just was happy all the time.
Huh.
Not unlike the other three who weren't happy all the time.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
And then he went on to a solo career. Huge solo career.
Well, dude, any of them could have went on a solo career, would have been successful.
Yeah, well, George Harrison comes out with a double album like a month after he leaves the Beatles.
I know.
And then... Ringo sings You're 16.
That's kind of. He had a pretty good solo career, though.
Who, Ringo?
Ringo.
Absolutely, dude.
I mean, he's got a lot of hits.
Yeah.
They're fun songs. I don't think
How about the No-No song?
The No, I Don't Smoke It No More?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good tune. My favorite Ringo Starr song has got to be Photograph, though.
It Don't Come Easy.
Yeah. Photograph, baby. Somebody Say Something. That's a great song.
Well, it is a good Photograph. Song.
Are you crazy? It's like his
Isn't
best song.
Isn't that Def Leppard?
That's a different album.
Gotcha.
You're thinking of Jim Croce. Photographs and Memories.
No, he's not.
I'm definitely not.
No, I know you're not. It Don't Come Easy, I think, is one of my favorite songs of his.
Well, you know what song, though? Oh, I don't want to be negative, but I Really Can't Stand. Isn't it him that sings, I Got My Heart Set on You or something? Or I Got My Heart Set on
No,
You.
No, that's the Traveling Wilburys.
Oh, they suck too then.
Traveling Wilburys is a super band.
Isn't Ringo Starr in there?
No.
No.
That's Jeff Lynne and Tom Petty.
Bob Dylan,
George Harrison.
Well, there's a lot of talent there.
You think?
I think that was Ringo Starr.
No, gosh.
No, it's not.
You might be thinking of Back Off Boogaloo, which is not one of my favorite songs by him.
That's a fun song, too.
It's fun, but yeah.
Fun song, too. You know what? Peter Jackson, the director of Lord of the Rings trilogy, is doing a Beatles movie. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, it's called Get Back, and... everybody's waiting for it to come out. It's kind of a documentary style, and all this material that he's gathered, it's a lot of stuff they've never seen before, and he's doing a documentary Beatles movie. Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be really good. Hmm. They showed a preview for it. I can't remember where I saw it. I think it was on YouTube. We could probably include a link. There's a preview for it. And
well, if I can find it, I'll put it in the show notes.
Tons of behind the scenes stuff. Yeah, I think it'll be really good to watch.
There you go.
But anyway, there you go.
Okay, moving on. So here's another one. I mean, iconic band from the 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Yeah, I find this one. I think he's more of a I think he has done. Look, he's done some good solo stuff. I've got a solo album as well. But Dennis Wilson, we're talking about from the Beach Boys, right?
Right.
Yeah, Dennis Wilson. But he's more of a background vocals, right?
They're all.
Yeah.
The whole band. Is
yeah, they all sing.
They all sing.
Yeah, like. Yeah. But, I mean, Dennis Wilson did, I think he did sing lead on some songs, right?
Which ones?
I have no idea what songs he sang for the Beach Boys.
Oh, my God.
But he did go on to have a solo effort, Pacific Ocean Blue in 77. That's a really good album. So, I mean, he is a singer, so because he did his own stuff, right? But with the Beach Boys, he's more of a group effort.
As Chaz said, yeah, everybody in the Beach Boys, besides Mike Love, sang everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
There you go.
All right. There you go. So, moving on.
That's What I Like About You.
Da, na, 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 na,
good tune, right?
Yeah, it's a great tune.
Great
That's
tune.
The one reason that I bought that CD for that album. That song.
We're talking about the Romantics, and the drummer is Jimmy Marinos.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if
and
I
that's have, all we got about that.
That's all I have to say about that. Well, the 70s and 80s, they were, you know, had lots of success, but then they kind of faded away.
Yeah, well, when Jimmy left the band.
Wonder, dude.
Well,
really?
Yeah, really?
Oh, come on.
Talking in Your Sleep, that's okay, another good one.
Then name one more.
I got nothing.
There you go.
There's some pretty big Romantics fans out there that are pissed right now.
Oh, hey, I got their CD, man.
There you go. But yeah, anyway, the singing drummer. There's a really popular singing drummer. But it wasn't when he was with Nirvana. It was when he went with the Foo Fighters.
Oh, Dave.
Dave Grohl, yeah.
You know what? Those guys are very successful, man.
He's one of my favorite rockers.
The Foo Fighters?
The Foo Fighters.
Christopher Walken. The Foo Fighters. Oh, the giz.
Yeah, Dave Grohl. What I like about him, you've seen a lot of his concerts. He invites young kids up who are guitarists, and he gives them a chance to play on stage. And some of these kids just knock it out of the park.
I've seen it on YouTube, those things.
Yeah. I mean, good for him.
Yeah.
You know, allowing kids to come up and have their, you know, 5 minutes of fame.
There you go. Right on. Hey, it was the giz's birthday today.
It was. I already sent him a note.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as I said the Foo Fighters, I thought, wait a minute, this is Giz's birthday.
Yeah, Giz.
Happy birthday, Giz.
It's a shout-out to Giz. Happy birthday, Giz.
There you go.
Oh,
Yeah. Right on. Anyway, so Dave Grohl, I don't have a lot to add there, but...
The Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, now, a lot of people aren't going to know or even heard of this band, but...
Then why are we talking about
unless them? You're 50 or 60 years old.
Well, yeah, probably. But you know the song, I'm feeling glad all over. Yeah.
1963.
Yeah, it's great. It's
the
a
Dave
great tune.
Clark Five, and the drummer was Dave Clark.
No guff.
No guff.
All right, then.
What? We worry about our abilities to create episode names. These guys are
Dave Clark.
Yeah. Let's think of a name of the band. Dave Clark, do you have a name for the band? Yeah, there's five of us. Dave Clark Five. Yeah, let's go with that. Well, yeah. At least it wasn't the Oneaters.
The what?
The Oneaters.
What the hell's that?
Didn't you watch that movie, That Thing You Do?
Yes, the guy, with Tom Hanks, yeah.
Yeah, the original name of the band was O-N-E-R-D-E-R-S. And he says, yeah, the Wonders, as in number one.
Oneaters.
And then they went the first time they got introduced. Ladies and gentlemen, the Oneaters. And then Tom Hanks took over and said, no, we're putting a W in front of that. You're called the Wonders. Let's move on.
You know what a good name for a band would be? Big Fat Wieners on a Sharp Pointed Stick. Wouldn't that be a great band name?
Wow.
It would.
They'd remember it.
Exactly.
Yeah, what kind of music would they play?
I don't know.
Love ballads.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so yeah, Dave Clark Five. Dave Clark did the vocals. Actually, it was him and Mike Smith that wrote most of the songs, and Mike Smith did a lot of the vocals, but Dave Clark also jumped in. He did that one with Mike Smith, Glad All Over, 1963.
All right, there you go. There you go. Okay. All right. Here's a band. My son loves this band. Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of their stuff.
Oh, they're heavy. They're heavy, yeah. I've got their whole discography on download.
Yeah.
Which I paid for through Apple Music, by the way.
Of course
you did. I didn't illegally download
it. No, you'd never do that.
I would, but I wouldn't admit it here. So, no. Anyway.
Yeah. The Rev.
The Rev, yeah.
Jimmy the Rev Sullivan.
Yeah, yeah. He died tragically in 2009, poor guy.
From what?
Drugs, I believe it was.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, but great drummer, really great drummer. You know, love it or hate, you know, the heavy metal or the that kind of music. The drumming is so important to that. You know, I've learned that from my son, right? Because he likes that kind of music.
Wow, but it gives it depth.
It is so difficult to drum to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah. So the Rev gets a shout out.
Yeah, the next guy, nice Canadian boy.
John mentioned this guy.
Lives in Toronto.
It's Gil.
Yeah.
Gil Moore, yeah.
From Triumph, yeah.
Yeah, he runs a school, and one of the biggest studios, Metalworks Studio, but he also runs Metalworks Institute, which is an entertainment arts school in Toronto. But he did singing while he was with Triumph and played the drums.
You know, I always thought that Rick Emmett was, he was the primary
yeah.
lead vocalist, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Rick Emmett. But, I'm going to have to listen again if I try to determine which ones were Gil Moore. Like, was he background or did he sing lead?
Sang lead.
It said Lay It on the Line. I thought that was Rick Emmett.
You know what? Their voices are kind of similar, but once you aware of it, then it clicks in. Yeah, that's not
Emmett. Well, it says that his harmonies, along with the lead singer, so he did a lot of harmonizing.
Yeah.
You know, Lay It on the Line, Fight the Good Fight, Magic Power.
Those are the hits they had, right?
Yeah, yeah. With him adding contributions with his vocals.
Rock and Roll Machine, love that album. That's a good album.
Old Gil Moore from Triumph, Canadian boy.
There you go. There you go. Here's another... really progressive drummer, Mike Portnoy from, I know him mostly from Dream Theater.
Dream Theater, yeah.
Dream Theater. I mean, went to see Dream Theater with my son in Toronto. And holy smokes, What a show. It was unbelievable.
Well, he's played in a lot of bands. He was with Avenged Sevenfold as well.
He was. Yeah. Yes, he was, for sure. Yeah. But, yeah, great drummer. Again, you have to, if you see these guys, or listen to that kind of music, it's so tight, you know, the way they play together. It's like Rush. Like, Rush is similar. I'm not talking about the music similar, but how tight they are as a band, they have to be.
So talented.
Right? Yeah, amazing. But Dream Theater is like that. And again, the drummer is so important. So Mike Portnoy, got to mention him.
Yeah, the drummer in the band always seems to be one of the different guys. They're a weird breed, wouldn't you agree?
They sometimes say that about the bass player.
Well, that's true, because they're all a bit, they have their own little personality.
I've been into bass lately, listening to in songs, great, really man. Noticing the bass. Depth. You take the bass out of any song,
yeah, man.
Mostly, and the song just doesn't sound the same. I mean, they carry the song, the bass and drums, really.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know.
It's just, yeah, it gives it so much more depth.
It does.
It does, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It really does.
Yes.
But listen, we can't wrap this up until I mention this next guy.
All right, let's do one more.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Well, I'm a big fan. Mostly because of my oldest son got me kind of into this guy, is Jack White.
Oh, the White Stripes.
The White Stripes, yeah. So, I mean, he was one half of the right White Stripes. It was him and his wife at the time, right?
Mm.
But Jack White, he's multi-talented. He plays drums, guitar. He's like one of the best guitarists. He's very innovative with his guitar skills, in my opinion. But he had an album, Lazaretto, probably one of my favorite albums in the last long time, really. But, yeah, Jack White, he was in a documentary, too, with Jimmy Page and The Edge. It's called It Might Get Loud, from 2008. I don't know if you've heard of it, but if you haven't seen it, it's a great documentary. It's by filmmaker Davis Guggenheim. But, yeah, you get to know Jack White pretty well. He actually built, at the very beginning, he actually builds a guitar, makes a guitar out of, I don't know, like just materials he had or
some Legos.
Yeah, whatever. But he builds a guitar and actually plays it. It's fantastic. Yeah. But anyway, there you go.
All right. So that was the drummer sang that this episode of Inside Rock with Oat,
Quakes,
and Ja,
the Jabber Guys.
So don't forget, if you like or even dislike this episode, please share.
How could they not like it? How could they not like it?
I don't know. Share anyway. That's what Cha's saying.
Just share it.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Jeez. So remember to go to our website, jabberguys.com, to subscribe to our podcast, Weird and Wacky World, and Inside Rock.